to Motorcycle Radio. Please note, turning off this podcast may damage your radio. And here's your host, Ian Richardson.
Okay, welcome to the Motorcycle Radio podcast. I'm your host, Ian Richardson, and you're listening to the best motorcycling podcast in the world, probably. So today I'm thrilled to introduce Martin Teese, a.k.a. Tico, who's joining us all the way from Stoke-on-Trent in sunny Staffordshire in England. Hi, Martin, how are you?
Hi there, Ian. I'm all good, matey, all good. Bit cowed.
So is that your living room or are you somewhere else?
I'm at my son's garage. He's got a motorcycle business and I'm very lucky to actually scrounged a workbench off him to prepare me bike for the next 3 months adventure.
Wow. And what bike is it that you're going to be adventuring on?
Ah, it's a 1979 T140D that I've owned for new. And she's covered over 100,000 miles now. And we're going to have a bit of a bit of adventure, so we're preparing the old girl for how can you put it, things it shouldn't really do. We're going out of the comfort zone of what a Bonnie should do and what people expect an old classic should do, and we're just going to stretch the imagination a bit and have some fun.
Wow. Well, we'll get into that in a bit, because that sounds amazing, and I'm sure loads of people would love to hear, especially when it's something a bit out of the ordinary and not just someone, you know, that's bought a 30 grand bike who and you expect them to do that. So they're very interesting. So could you just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself and what your background is in motorcycling? You look as though you're into your 30s or early 40s by now, so I'm guessing you've had a bit of biking behind you.
Oh, I wish you flatter, sir. You flatter. I'm a sprightly 64. I'm knackered. I'm bashed to bits. I've broken almost everything. Started off, as we all did, as a young kid. Progressed up through the ranks. And in 1979, I managed to get some inheritance off my dad, and I purchased this old T140. It was brand new then at a place called Broadway Motors in Stoke. And I've gelled with that bike. At the time, Suzuki had got the GS750 out there, and we sat in the pub, as you did, with your mates and your peers. And they were all saying, have the Suzuki, it's got an electric start, it's got four cylinders, and it was a beautiful bike. It was black with that blue pinstripe and gold pinstripe on the tank. Yeah. And I was looking at the Bonnie, and I think the thing that sealed it was the word charisma, because the Bonnie had just got something that, although the onslaught of the Japanese was almost complete by then, it was that rear guard action. That's something British that's in the psyche that says, give the underdog a chance. You know, we've got three wickets left and we're 200 down, sir, at the Oval, but by God, we'll make a go of it. We'll have a go. So, I bought the old Bonnie and I loved it. It was easy to ride. It's forgiving. And I kept it in all those years, 45 years now. I've had 80-odd bikes, and it's the one bike I've loved the most. And it's smart. It makes me smile. You ride it, it makes me smile. Yeah. And there's not many bikes that I've ever got on that have made me smile the way the Bonnie does. Hence, most of my fun adventures have been done on the Bonnie.
Fantastic. And I guess you've got, well, you must have a real emotional bond to that bike now, as well as the fact that you used it, you know, you got this inheritance from your dad to get it all those years ago when you were a young lad. It must be emotionally linking to do that and have that all those years.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, there's a bond. Yeah, sometimes when I was younger, I'd sort of hug the bike before I went to bed. I used to keep it in the living room. I'd speak to it as I went past. So when I moved into my little house, it moved in with me. So, yeah, I lived in a squat in the late 70s. It was a little bit like the young ones at crazy days, the 70s. And I used to ride it through the front door of the squat where we lived and park it up on by the wall.
Yeah.
We'd open the Party 7, if you remember Party 7s.
I do, yeah.
And so, yeah, we go back a long way. And she's let me down a few times. But most of the time, I can fix it.
We've all been let down.
Pardon?
We've all been let down occasionally, but it doesn't mean you give up on them.
Yes. And I just, yeah, it's an adventure because at the end of the day, you do as much as you can. And you think, it's old now and I'm asking a lot. Even though the majority of it's been replaced, there's bugger all original on the bike.
Yeah.
The wheel are about the only thing, and the frame, crankcases. Most of the internals have been either replaced or fettled, as they say. Bugger all on it, really. But yeah, we're there. We keep going, and we have a lot of fun.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I've got a broom out here, which I've had ever since I was a teenager. It's the same, you know, it's had about 16 new handles and about 15 new heads. But
same
it's
broom.
Still going.
Trigger's broom, yeah. Well, same with this old girl. I think the front mud guard's original because I've had that re-chromed. They tried to write it off in an accident 15 years ago when I was hit by a Freelander head-on. Yeah, that was an interesting occurrence because the woman that hit me, well, the bloke that hit me, his wife stood at the top of the embankment that shot down and said, "Joe, he's still alive." And this chap had taken his dogs for a walk because they needed to go to the toilet. So I managed to crawl out of this ditch up the embankment. Profanities were being used quite a lot.
Yeah.
And we went to court and he got away with 6 points and a few quid fine, which sort of sums up the value of my life, which is 6 points. I think it was an £80 fine and dog urine.
My goodness. So you managed to rescue the bike from the insurers, did you?
I wouldn't let them have it. They said they were going to send someone to pick it up. And I asked if he'd got a body bag. And they said, "Why does he need a body bag?" I says, "Because when he touches my bike, that's how you'll pick him up." And they said, "You've had an accident." I said, "Yes, and I've reported it. I haven't asked you to come anywhere near my bike. I've complied with the law." "Well, it's a write-off." I said, "In your opinion." "In my opinion, it's not. So I'm keeping my bike." But it was basically, I'd sent them pictures and we'd agreed an agreed value on a classic policy. And they said, because it was the day after I got the bike back on the road after a major rebuild, and they said that they hadn't received the photographs and therefore the agreed value couldn't stand because the photographs were in the post. And they only received them on the Monday morning and the accident was on a Friday afternoon.
Talk about pedantics, eh?
Yes, so we went to the ombudsman and I kept the bike and eventually they agreed they would pay the damage to the bike was £2,800, but they believed they could get a mint condition T140D for less than £2,500, which at the time would barely buy you a good engine.
So you can imagine what the struggle you'd have trying to get anything any good.
Yes. So
you kept it. Yeah.
Yeah, we go back a bit, me and the old girl.
Oh, it's amazing. Great having something, you know, like that. Honestly, it is. It's we do get, you know, there's the old adage about, you know, you've got the right bike when you get off it and go back and look at it. And I have done with a lot of my bikes. I certainly do it with my Triumph Thunderbird. You know, I do get off it wherever I park it. I don't know whether it's to check I put the chain on and disc lock or whether I actually love it, but I always look back at that. And if I'm putting it in the shed, I'll always look and then go back in and think, because I love it, you know. And you do, you get that attachment to bikes, definitely.
Do you talk to your bike when you're going along? And you'll, so it's one of those long journeys and you're probably 20 miles from home and you're humming along, but you've had a few issues, she's not quite felt right, and then it's cleared up and you tap the tank and you, come on, yeah. 20 miles.
We can do it. Get home. We can do it. What I usually do with mine is on these Triumph triples, the center carb, the plug always gives me issues. And they're a nightmare to get out. I know how to do it now, a bit of rubber tubing, little magnet, and I'm out. I can do it in 5 minutes. But if you don't know what you're doing, taking that center plug out is a nightmare on these. But, you know, I've done it that many times. And when they won't start, it's always going to be the fact you've left your fuel on and the carb's garbed up, you know, locked up with gel and God knows what. And you've suttered up that middle plug. So when I get on that bike for the first 10 miles, I can tell it's firing on 2. It'll still do 80 because it's very, very, a lot of torque on those triples. But I know it's not. And then all of a sudden, I'll hear it and I'll feel it pulling. I'll go on, cough it out. Go on, cough it up. And then it's like, oh, and then it's done. Progress the journey. Oh. And I'm visualizing all carbon burning off that middle plug. Go on, get it off, get it, burning it all off, and a bit of smoke out of that right hand 2-into-1 exhaust. And I think, yeah, it's not. And then for a couple of months, it's till I ride another couple of bikes for a bit and then get back on it. And it's again till it's gone. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely talk to it.
You have to. Come on, we can make this home. Or don't let me down now. I remember we were in New Zealand, and the one thing, there's a picture everybody always sees of Mount Cook, and there's a little bit of it, the road juts out, and you get this classic picture of a vehicle in Mount Cook. And I thought, I've got to take this picture of my bike. And I think we'd done 5,000 miles in 6 weeks of being over there with the old girl. And it was 2019, and it was the International Triumph Owners Club Rally at Hamner Springs, Wattock. And I'd planned to sort of finish at Mount Cook. And we were, that day, it had been playing up a bit, and it just needed a new set of plugs. So I was tapping the tank, going, come on, we've done it now. I don't care. You can spit your guts out all over New Zealand. As long as I can take that photo, I want to get to Mount Cook, obviously do the, you know, go up the glacier and all that kind of jazz. But I don't care what happens, as long as we make it. And she was as good as gold. She got there. We took the picture, the iconic picture, and it behaved. And we ended up going fair way back, go to Kaikoura again, because I've got a couple of days extra to not to waste, but I'd left in reserve to try and go whale watching again. And I remember thinking, as I can see Mount Cook getting closer and closer, and I'm saying to her, come on, girl, you've done it. We're almost there. It's like, you're insane. You're talking to a piece of bloody metal, like a person. And this runs through your mind. Am I completely and utterly insane? But no, because it is an attachment. That a bond that sort of over time becomes stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And insanity does as well.
And what, sorry?
And my insanity as well.
dear. So when you, what did you start out on back in the day, Marty, when you were 16? Was it a moped, or did you start riding at 16?
I knocked around on my mate's stuff, and then... I was really lucky because I worked in a chippy as a student. So I skipped the mopeds.
Yeah.
Went straight to a Super Dream when they first came out in the end of 78.
On the 250 CB
250N with the kickstart.
Oh, all right.
And then good start off after that. But I've been hanging around and I was riding my mate's bikes and CG125. And we had a thing down in Stoke called PAD, which was Potteries and Districts Training Scheme. So not wanting to die too early, I actually used their 125 CG Honda and learnt how to ride correctly on the road before having this Super Dream, which was a bloody big, heavy bike in the day.
I like them, you know. I do like Super Dreams even now.
The thing is, I remember in those days, it was mixed with the music and the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So been going up the local pub with the local bikers, as you do, a lot of different pubs, lots of different groups. And we were all pretty much the same age. And I think what was the epiphany for me, there wasn't an internet in those days. I'm painting a very personal picture here.
Yeah, of course.
My mother and father were divorced, so I was pretty much feral. And the only real family I got being a single child was my mates.
Yeah.
So when you got a motorbike, you could start to go to places that you could only dream of as of going when you were a sort of 17-year-old kid in the UK in the 70s. So the big hero was Barry Sheen. And you get in with a group of people, and there's a place called Llangollen, or Llangollen, as the Welsh like to say, which is on the A5 in Wales. And I remember the first place I ever went on a big run with these guys, and we're all pretty much the same. There was GT250s, little Kawasaki KHs, 250s.
XS250 Yamahas and all them.
My best mate had one of them.
Yeah.
And we end up going to Llangollen with a little chef map. Do you remember the little chefs?
I do, with pictures of them on.
Yeah. And we used a little chef map to navigate to Llangollen. And we stood there with the old rolling tobacco and some whistlers. And we're standing having a fag, leaning over the River Dee at Llangollen. And I'm thinking, this is fantastic. This is total freedom. You're with your mates. You're completely somewhere you'd never been in your life.
Yeah, if it weren't on bus route, you couldn't go before, could you?
Exactly. And so it was like an epiphany. It was like, my God, I can go do this every weekend. So you get yourself your job. And I was doing a bit of gardening, as they say, training horticulturalist. And Saturdays and Sundays was literally, let's go further and further and further. There was the rally scene. So I don't know if you remember doing the old rallies. We did the Dragon Rally, which is quite famous, still is. But lots of rallies. And I like not to just do local rallies. I was going to Scotland for a rally, the Antler Rally up there. And so it was one big carousel of fun.
Yeah.
And so you progressed to a 554 Honda. I had the Bonnie, I had 900 Hondas, and it was just further and further afield all the time. This traveling and just seeing things and meeting people and realizing that actually the world over, everybody just wants the same things. They want to have somewhere to sleep, a full belly of food, and feel safe. And if you can throw in alcohol, well, that's a recipe for fun. And so I used to just rock up anywhere and just think, well, things are always going to be okay. And that's pretty much been the lifestyle choice. Let's just go and meet people and find out and experience different things, different cultures.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're all the same. There's no difference. You've got a motorbike. It gels everything together.
It does. And it's interesting to, I'm just sat, massive smile on my face, because it's like a bit like a, if I'm honest, it's a like a bit of a trip down memory lane listening to you. You know, I think we're similar ages from similar sort of backgrounds, and I not identical, but exactly the same when it comes to that feeling of freedom, you know, and going off. I mean, I remember we, from where we are in Yorkshire, we used to ride about 45 miles up the A1 to Scotch Corner. So yeah. We used to race to Scotch Corner and back. And I mean, if kids do it now, I'm like, I look at them and think, idiots. But that's because I've got older and a bit more sensible. But then I remember literally having my head on the tank and my feet crossed behind me on the seat, laid down trying to hammer it up A1. And, you know, it were like 90-mile round trip. And on our bikes, that were like round the world when it come to reliability and that. You know, we were having... When we were 16, started out with an SS50 Honda, which were yellow, really slow. And I hated it because it didn't have a down tube. So it looked like, you know, the old Honda 50 engine. And all the others had a downpipe, which like a frontal tube, it made it look like a bike. So I had a bit of a broomstick angle and I screwed it on, too flattened it, with, like, so it like wetted it and then painted it matte black so it looked more like a bike. And it were always burning coils out for some reason. And I used to have another coil just taped on side of it with some like old, weren't gaffer tape then, it were like parcel tape, sellotape. And so I could just unplug the low tension and high tension, and because I knew it were going to go. And it were like the norm. And on this 45-mile trip, which now you wouldn't think anything about, to us it were a real adventure. You know, so we had those wonderful adventures going camping because our playground was Peak District from where we are. And I guess yours is, you're on the southern bits at Peak District and we're on the northern bit, Sheffield and Barnsley. And you're in the Staffordshire going up, and it's not that far apart, really, is it?
No.
You know, and we are, us going to, you know, Castleton and go, all these places as if a massive adventure on 50cc bikes and camping out in a, you know, graveyard or somewhere. It were amazing. Dreams. And I still hanker after those times of being 16, 17, 18 and having that fun. Amazing. So it's nice. I'm sat smiling, listening to you and thinking, yeah, sounds very familiar.
Very familiar. And that's what I think what we've lost now is I used to organise trips for people and you would organise the hotel and then you'd look how many places, how many restaurants for these people to choose from. And where we were stopping for dinner, oh, we'd have to have a look. How many restaurants in this town we're going to be looking at? And so it became an itinerary. You've already used Google Earth to wander around and have a look at the Plaque du Jour in France. Well, there's at least three there, so we'll be okay. There's a car park, and you zoom in and you plan everything out for everybody else. And so I've realized, and we do big mileage. And I've realized now that this was insane. At one point, before I did all the tours for everybody else, we were pulling 500-mile days, day in, day out. It was like the biggest pub crawl in Europe. We'd bugger off. We'd ride down to the Picos and then shoot over to Germany for a laugh and then ride home in a day from Germany, 600 and something miles. And that was fun, but it wasn't because the epiphany I had, somebody said, you've been to Bruges? Oh, yeah, a dozen times, yeah. Where's the best place to eat? Well, we found this pub just outside the campsite at Memling. So have you been into the middle of Bruges? No. And then it was like, what a fool. What a complete prat. I've seen a lot and I've seen nothing. I've ridden brilliant roads and seen nothing.
Brilliant.
So I've taken off the big, sort of big, fast bikes. I used to have a Daytona 955i, and I loved that bike. It was fun.
Yeah.
But it was meant for mile chomping.
Yes.
Now, 200 mile a day, 250 tops, and go and experience and slow down and just chill out.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's when you know you're getting a bit old.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I hear a lot of people when they talk about touring, when they talk about the fact that they've been to a lot of places but not really seen much of it. And as you get older, like, I can't do 600 mile days. I've never been able to, frankly. But I think now, you know, I like to stop every 60, 80 miles and get off and, you know, stretch my bones and have a cup of tea and have a wee. And, you know, and I see people, someone once said to me, someone pulled up beside me in a transit van and he went, "Is it safe riding that bike with one hand?" And I went, "Well, I mean, you don't know what I said." But the reality is, I was trying to stop myself from aching a bit. That's why I'm riding with one hand, just to adjust my position. You know, when I check my feet off the pegs and stretch them out in front of me, it's not to try and look like Evel Knievel at 61. It's because I need to stretch my bones or I'm going to have to get off. And so those days of mild chomping have pretty much gone, and it gives me a chance to see places a bit more then as well.
2019, I'd just come back from New Zealand, and a good friend of mine is a chap called John Young, and he's just an awesome guy. You really need to interview him one day. He's completely mad, proper mental case in the nicest possible way. And he does these Iron Butt.
Oh, yeah.
Runs, and he did the Iron Butt America. And that is a story. I'll let him tell you that. But I decided before I was 60, I think, was I 50? No, I was 60. On my 60th, that's right. Yeah, I was 60. I decided to go for it and do an Iron Butt SS1000 on the Bonneville. And we did it in October. So we set off from Stoke and we ended up on mostly A roads after Glasgow, all the way up to Inverness, over to Keith, back down then through the Cairngorms, shot over onto the A1, picked up the A1 and down. We did 1,036 miles on a T140 in 23 hours non-stop.
That's amazing. So, on that bike, that is amazing. On any bike in that time of year as well.
But yeah, it's happened. And we had on a broke down. Yeah, actually broke down. I think we was about 650 odd miles in, and it broke an ignition wire in the headlight. And at that point, I was pretty wrecked. I'd been to work the day before on the Saturday. I'd had a couple of hours dozing. I'd got up at 11 o'clock. I was sitting ready to go at 2 on the petrol station at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I rolled back in my garage at 1 o'clock the next day in the morning. Had a few hours kip and then went to work.
Wow. I mean, you know, I mean, as a comparison, I often work down in Gatwick in Sussex. And it's 256 miles from my house. And I drive there in a, you know, 4x4 automatic car. It's not my car I'm telling you about, the Tiguan, but it's a company car. And it's got lane departure. It's got variable speed control. It reads speed signs. If you let go of the steering wheel, it steers round bends. It brakes when there's a car in front of you. It does all that. And I go down there. And I work, and I come back, and it's about 521 miles, or so, 520 miles. I am absolutely knackered. And so to do double that on a bike, with no ABS, with no nothing other than a bike with a kickstart, and is just, I just can't believe it. I mean, I don't think I could do it now. I'm not sure I could. Maybe, I don't know, you get that.
You can, because it's all in there.
Yeah, yeah.
The easiest way, if anybody wants to do it, and John Young was the guy that sort of said to it, this is the way to do it. He ran marathons for a while, and he's a great guy. It's all, as Terry Pratchett says, headology. what you do, you break it down into little parts. So for the first, you're going to do the first 100 mile, piece of cake. It's a tenth of it done. When you've hit 200 mile, okay, you get a bit of a, you know, bit of a shuffle on your bum and, oh, well, actually, 200 mile, we've done a fifth of it.
Yeah.
Oh. So by the time you get to Inverness, which is from Stokes, 420 odd mile.
Nearly halfway.
Halfway. And the sun, well, the sun did come out in Inverness. It rained all the way to Glasgow, as it always does. And it's like, well, you just turned the corner. We've cracked it. We're over halfway. And this is it. It's all in your head.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. It's all in your head. And people go, oh, how'd you do that? Easy. It's in your head.
Yeah.
Break it down, little pieces. The same with doing what I'm about to do this year. People are, oh, that's a bit crazy, isn't it? Well, no, because it's not that hard. It's just in your head. What happens if? Well, what happens if? We'll deal with it when it comes along. You can't live your life saying, what happens if?
No. It's you're absolutely right. And you know, I think for me, I talk about positivity all the time to people, you know, I'm a bit of a hypocrite there, but I do talk about how important it is to be positive, and if you are, how much you can achieve. And I think for me, as long as I'm warm, as long as my hands are warm, I'm all right. That's for me now, my hands. I've got to be warm. I have got heated grips on my BM. I haven't got them on the Triumph, but I have got some heated gloves as well, which I can plug in. And I'll tell you what, once my hands go, I mean, unless people have ridden in cold weather, can't really know what it's like not to be able to have the strength to pull clutch in because he has frozen solid. It's not nice. But you're right.
You've got to be comfortable to do it. It's pointless freezing to death, not having the right kits, not having the right gloves, not having the right boots. Yeah. And when we were younger, we couldn't afford those luxuries. There wasn't the stuff out there. There wasn't gold.
A Wellis pair of jeans, old leather jacket off Car Boot or from second-hand shop, and an old helmet from Bell.
Yeah. We had Bell staff in Stoke before it became a rich man's brand. And you could go down and for a tenner, you could buy the ones with the wiggly stitching. And they'd last, you know, they'd last you a couple of 3 years for a tenner.
Yeah.
Constant bike, he was always re-waxing the bugging and things, but they weren't that waterproof. I mean, within a real bad storm, 100 miles of real bad weather, and you were soaked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've ridden through some really horrendous weather, and as long as you've got the right kit, you're okay. And it's just about splashing out on that right kit. You buy it once, it'll last you a good long time as long as you look after it.
And I think that's an important point, you know, to say, Martin. I know it's easy, and I know I don't want people, like listeners, to listen to this and think, oh, you know, that the somehow saying if you can't afford it, it's more difficult. But the reality is, we've all learned, well, I certainly have, I'm sure you have, that if you buy cheap, you buy twice. And sometimes you buy three or four times or five times even. And I know it's not always easy to afford it at the time. And I always say to people, I'm quite happy to buy second-hand. If people want, I'd rather, apart from an helmet, if people want to buy a second-hand jacket that would have been 500 quid for 100 quid or buy a cheap imported one for 100 quid new, go for a second-hand one.
Yeah.
Because
there's so many people that are getting rid of good kit for next to nothing. And so, okay, it's last year's colours.
So,
am I bothered about fashion? Are you bothered about fashion?
Does it look like I am? With my Tesco tearaway shirt on?
Yeah. I got given this bottle. Well, I didn't. I paid for this. But I got given this.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So, before we talk about what you're planning, because I can't wait to hear, what have you done on that bike? What trips have you done on that and other bikes, Martin, that you could tell us about?
Apart from once going, you know, obviously you do Land's End, John O'Groats, I've got some great stories. I ended up in Longleat Safari Park once on that bike. Yeah, don't ask me how. We faced down a Chieftain tank on Salisbury Plain on the same holiday. I went to Stonehenge Rock Festival on it. That was, well, Stonehenge Free Festival before it got banned.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to think, you know, the obligatory Land's End and John O'Groats and all that kind of jazz, loads of rallies. I did the Simmer Dim rally last year on that bike, and we took furthest travelled at the 40th Simmer Dim rally. And I was quite surprised. We went via Orkney just for a laugh, because I like to go and see these strange Neolithic monuments and things. So I like kicking my shoes and socks off in strange places. And so where have I been? When I was younger, I went to Australia, stole my dad's bike, went to Phillip Island, and then rode up to Brisbane and onto the Barrier Reef, not with the bike, obviously. Rode it back, left him a note saying, I owe you a set of tyres and a service, came home. She's obviously been to New Zealand. I took it there. She's been down on the Mosel, most of, you know, northern France, just knocked around everywhere on it. Been on bikes now for so long, for everything from Portugal one way to Croatia the other, and everything in between, through the Picos Mountains. Used to always start at a place called Wolf on the Mosel, which is near Berncastle Coos. So we'd do 600 miles in a day, start off in Stoke at 4 in the morning. The tent would be up at 5 in the evening, 13 hours non-stop, and I'd be opening a bottle by 5:30 in the evening on the River Mosel at my favourite restaurant, where we'd have a huge steak, and then we'd decide where we were going to go after that. So we'd scoot, you know, over to Italy or Austria. Tri Days in Austria was good fun, which is where I met the Glasgow lads.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I noticed that, you know, you and I are both lovers of Triumphs. And I notice you've got a Triumph Owners Club Glasgow hat on. And what's that come from? How come you've not got a Stoke hat or a Staffordshire one on?
Because these guys, they took me as one of their own. We were up in the Tyrol at Tri Days. And I used to mess around. I used to wear a bowler hat and carry an umbrella, and I would become Gentleman, a British superhero, and I would go along making people form a queue, especially when I'd taken sort of half a bottle of Jura whiskey down my gizzard. So I'd be staggering around, forming Johnny Foreigner, as I used to say, don't form a queue, none of this slovenly behaviour. And the Scots lads thought it was highly entertaining, and quite a few of the people there thought I was an employed act, because there's quite a few acts that go street art.
It must be turn.
Yeah. So I actually got some Italians and Germans to toast the health of Her Majesty at 8 o'clock in the morning, after eating a full English breakfast with a tot of whiskey. And they actually said, do you eat this every day in England? Yes. And we invited them to where we were staying in this chalet. And we managed to cook an English breakfast. And they were, oh, my God. You eat this every day in England? Yes. And we also toast the health to the Queen every morning with this whiskey. So I poured everybody a shot of whiskey and got them to please be upstanding for a toast to Her Majesty. And Johnny Foreigner all stood up and toasted the health of the Queen.
Which bet they all thought they were in lodge.
Yes, and he was like, oh, isn't this marvellous? So anyway, the Scottish guys, they're a brilliant bunch. And everywhere I went, I ended up sitting with these chaps. And they'd be there already or whatever, and all of a sudden, two chairs just appear. The ranks open, two chairs appear. Someone thrusts an alcoholic beverage into one's hand, and it's set with us. I'm off up there this weekend. it's the AGM, and they just make you welcome. Whenever I'll be scooting through Scotland, these guys will come out and say, where are you? And they'll come over and have an evening with you.
That's wonderful.
It's something that gelled with these guys. And they stay at my house, yeah, and I stay at their house. And they're just a real great, great branch of the Client Owners Club. And myself and the ex-president, Roy Schilling, who's another brilliant, brilliant person, will be up there this weekend with their chairman, Brian. And we'll have a few beers and fall over and chew the cud, plan the next stupid thing to do.
That's amazing. That's lovely. It's nice when you meet a group of people and you get on so well. And, you know, I've done it in many places, maybe not to that extent that I've joined like that, but I have done it in a different organization, which I won't talk about on here, but where you know, I have sort of gelled to the extent where you find yourself going up there regularly and being one of the lads, and that's amazing. So I'm glad you've done that. So it explains the hat, so that's good. So other than the Triumph, Martin, what have you got any other bikes at the moment? Or have you a one bike girl?
Oh God, I'm trying to de-bike. I'm still the proud owner of a 2T160 Tridents that I've had many, many years, one of them at least. I've got rid of my Norton Commando Mark III. I've still got my Daytona 955, but we're going to sell that. I'm trying to think what else. I've got a Honda 125 CG CBF to work on. I used to have a T25T Trailblazer. Love that little bike, but I came off that on diesel a few years back, and that snapped my ankle and broke my hand.
Are they the ones with the high exhaust that comes?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Beautiful looking bikes.
I used to have an ammo box on the other side and a picnic hamper. I had a proper wicker hamper. And I used to potter around with this little bike all over North Staffordshire. And it'd be like, where you see people and they've got stickers, I don't know, like Glosh Glockner or Stelvio Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got this ammo box, and I drew with felt tip pen some mountains, and I put adventure on it, and I got a Buxton sticker, which is just up the road. And I just potter around with this. And yeah, I had great fun just taking the rip out of myself. I think that at some point you've got to become less serious. You don't need everything with bells and whistles, and you can literally parody yourself. And have lots of fun doing it.
And if you want to get a ride to the lakes, I'm sorry. We had some friends going to Austria to the lakes, and we only had 3 days, so we couldn't go really. I said it's too far to go and back in 3 days meaningfully. Yeah, it might be possible, but you know. So we went to is it Carsten Water?
It's not. Oh yeah, Water. Yeah.
We went down there and did an adventure. And we did a similar thing. We met out the way cinematography, you'd think we'd gone, you know, to the other side of the world, and it were only 40 minutes. You know, it might be just over an hour for me. And we all met up there, and we camped out, and we'd got all this. It was fantastic. We were doing paddle boarding and canoeing, and we were like, oh, adventure of a lifetime. And the joke of it really was twofold. One, a bit of sarcasm and joke, but also that you can have an amazing time with your mates there. And I think we ended up staying in or getting drunk in a pub called Tiger something. It's a really nice restaurant near there. It's got a funny name. It's something like Three Tigers or something. You wouldn't expect an old-fashioned, you know, 300-year-old pub called, and they did some lovely food. And I remember coming out and thinking, well, we can't ride home, we'll have to walk. And we left our bikes chained together in car park. And somebody forgot he couldn't ride and got on his bike and tried to ride off chained to the rest of them. because he was that bladdered. And we heard his bike start. We were like, what are you doing? And he's trying to pull away and pulling all bikes in together. We're like, you. So he says, oh, I forgot. I'm like, what?
Oh, that reminds me. Do you know Wastdale Head in the Lake District? You go over the Rhinos and the Hard Knock Pass.
Yes, yes.
Many years ago, I was with a bike club, which is still going, called the Star Bikers. They were the first toy runs and egg runs in Great Britain. Oh, and they're still going now. And it was started in 1977. Anyway, the Star Bikers, great group of people. And we used to go to Wastdale Head. And I remember one time we went up and they served Theakston's Old Peculiar.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, wicked beer. So myself and my wife, we get up there and we were late because we got to work. And so we get there late only to walk into a murder inquiry that was the blocks the whole place down. So as we pulled up, it was like, hello, sir. Yeah, can we take your keys? Dunk, gone. It's like, what's going on? We can't tell you anything, but we want you to go and sit in that room there in that pub, and we'll be interviewing you shortly. I'm thinking, I've only just got here. Shall we go in? And there's some very solemn faces. And I'm going, what's going on? There's been a death. What do you mean there's been a death? And it's like, oh. So anyway, long story short, I lean through the serving hatch and I went, are you serving? And this bloke goes, well, I suppose, yeah, but it's ruining me trade. I says, well, tell you what, I says, I'll have chicken and chips in the basket and can have a pint of Old Peculiar. Well, by the third pint of Old Peculiar, I was getting a bit, way we're going. I'd done about four. I'd have confessed to anything if they'd come in. I don't know. Yeah, it was me. Can I have another beer? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take me away now. So, I think I put that tent up, God knows how, because we crawled out of there about 11 o'clock at night. Sozzle.
You know, you just brought back another wonderful memory of Theakston's Old Peculiar. So when I were about 17... we went on our bikes to Peak District, and we camped in Eam, and you know, that's the Black Death, people from the UK, where the Black Death started. And so we went into this pub and we drank anything then, obviously. We're 17, drink whatever's cheapest, you know, but not lager, because we don't drink that. So we went in and said, what beers have you got? And they went, oh, I've got Theakston's Old Speckled Hen and Theakston's Old Peculiar. So we said, oh, we'll have a Theakston's then, please. And what do you recommend? He's looking at us, 17, long hair. He's thinking they'll drink oh. So we all had like five or six of us, Theakston's Old Peculiar. And I remember after four of them at 17, I were absolutely bladdered. And I couldn't understand it. We were all like, and we were singing that, I am the music man, I come from down your way. I'll never forget it. And we were, and all locals were joining in, you know, I suppose humouring us. But they'd had a few as well. And it were absolutely brilliant. And I got run over by a Volkswagen Beetle as I came out. I came out. And there were a little car park. And then through this stone wall to where we'd put tents. And I was completely blind, really. You know, I was just like completely gone. And I just walked out. Next thing I knew, I was like on floor, and everyone's round me. You all right? And I was like, yeah, what happened? And this old lady said, oh, I'm sorry, love. And she'd reversed out of a car parking space, and luckily the shape like that, and I went rather than under it. And I thought, just been. Everyone were like, Joe got run over by a Volkswagen Beetle. Great memories.
It's ace in moderation, obviously, Your Honour.
Yeah, great memories. And now, of course, at the time, I was like, woke up, couldn't move in the morning. Everyone else had got an headache, and I'm like, anyone got any paracetamol? And they said, yeah, why have you got headache? I says, no, I can't move. And they went, oh, yeah, you got run over, didn't you? And I said, did I? Oh, yeah, I forgot. So, yeah, great stuff. Theakston's Old Peculiar. You brought back a lovely memory there. Do they still sell that?
Yeah, I think you still get it, yeah.
I wonder if it's still as potent.
Look, well, battery power now, old chap. I've just had it shoot up. It says battery power.
Okay. Going down. Well, if all happens, we'll move back to Chase Martin, if we need.
Yes, so we're on 15%, I think it said. So, yes.
Right, okay. No worries. Yep. Don't worry about that. So, I guess that brings us to now. You've got the bike in your son's workshop on a benches, lent you.
Yeah.
What are you doing to the bike and what for?
Right. We intend to go to Nordkap in May, which is go down to Wolf, which we spoke about earlier, on the Mosel Valley.
Favourite restaurant.
Favourite restaurant. He's opening up special and we'll meet some German chaps there who I've known for many years. I met at the Isle of Man. And we shall bimble up then through Germany into Denmark. We will catch the ferry from Hirschels over to Christiansund. And then I will bimble with my wife and one of these German chaps called Alex. And we will bimble up all the way up to Nordkap, going to the Lofoten Isles on the way. No plans, probably Bergen, and just taking the culture, taking everything that comes, and all we've got is a tent. We've got a tent between me and the missus. She's on a V-Strom 1000, I'm on the old Bonnie, and we shall bimble up, and then we'll drop down through Finland after we've been to Nordkap, and down to Helsinki, and then we'll drop down through the Baltic states, down through Poland, Hungary, Bosnia, down onto the Adriatic, round the Adriatic, up into the Dolomites, skip through the Dolomites, through the Alps, come out into somewhere like around Clermont-Ferrand in France, or that area, level with that, and then bimble up to Normandy, 90 days. With a tent, an old Bonnie, roughly 12,500 miles.
Wow. Now, the way you said that was if it's like someone nipping out to get a loaf of bread. It's like, we'll bimble through there, we'll nip through there, we'll zip through there. And it sounds like, a pleasant ride. But actually, that's massive. How many thousand miles?
12,500.
So that's 18,000 kilometres.
Yes.
I'm only saying that because obviously in England and most of our other listeners in the United States, we all use miles. But some people in certainly in Europe and in Australia, New Zealand and Canada have defected and use kilometres now. And
no, it makes it look like you do far more to the gallon.
Yeah, it does. But it also... Have you noticed when people said, when they started doing these park runs and fun runs, they used to go, yeah, I'm doing a 5K. And I'm like, well, we don't use kilometres in this country. We never have. Why are you using K? You know, because it sounds a lot more than 2.9 miles, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And as much as it's amazing, I've interviewed people who've done like 70,000 kilometres. And you've done, I mean, that bike's done how many 100,000 miles? 100 and somewhere?
Oh, I don't know. Somewhere well over 100,000 now, yeah.
Which is 160,000 kilometres if we're using, you know, metric mileage, metric distances. It's amazing. And it just sounds a lot more when you use kilometres. But I just wanted people who hear it in other countries to realise you're talking 60% more when you're going to work it out on kilometres. So that's an amazing amount of distance. I mean, my son and daughter, with their respective partners, have just gone to Las Vegas last night. And like any diligent dad, I tracked it on these flight trackers. Don't know what I was going to do if I saw her out untoward, but I tracked them flying from Gatwick all the way to Las Vegas, and it's something like I don't know, 5,000 miles. But in kilometres, that's a long way. And it's funny how people talking about kilometres now, astonishing amount of time it takes. Are we on 10% now or something? 5%. Oh, you'll be going soon then. So I think probably rather than lose you at a time that's like halfway through saying something, if you like, we can just pause. And then if you want to nip and plug it in, Martin, and then come back, and then we'll have the last half an hour. Is that all right with you?
Of course it is. I'll lock up here.
Yeah.
Go home and then phone you back.
Okay. Drive carefully, mate, and I'll see you in a minute.
Okay. Thank you. See you in a minute.
A few moments later.
Wow. It looks like you've tidied up a bit there.
That was a fast toilet break. Yes, and the phone decided to die, so we've scooted to home, East Towers, as you can see, sir. And we're back with we've had a quick brew, quick fabulous product placement.
And, Crank Industries. If you need to look at that, guys, you can find that all over Facebook. I've had a look. Very funny.
Yeah, don't ever buy anything. Man's a charlatan.
Oh, well, it's thanks so much for taking the trouble to relocate and plug your phone in. I do appreciate it. Thank you. So we were just... Come on then, Rocky. Rocky's coming back up here. So we
hello,
were
Rock.
Just... Say hello. He's a bit of a star of these podcasts, aren't you, Rocky? Half of my comments are about him. He's a good-looking one.
Oh, I almost said something then. Would regret. It's not in yet, though, but she'll probably watch it. So, Albert might be back soon. So, if you suddenly see something walk past, an angel in disguise.
You know who it is.
Yes, vicious woman. And
so, you were just before we had the. The relocation, you were just talking about your upcoming trip on the T-140 Bonneville and your wife on her
L-1000.
Yes.
SV, yeah.
Rocky's destroying my virtual background look. So what when you do that, when are you planning to start? And are you doing it to try and get the best of the weather or... What's your plan?
No, basically now, because of Brexit, obviously, Schengen area, only 90 days. I'm quite lucky. The job I now have, I can take a sabbatical. And so life is too short. Last year, I should have done this trip, but I was still recovering from a motorcycle accident where I broke my fingers and snapped my ankle. Very lucky the ankle didn't move. So we decided to delay, get fit, and this year go for it. So basically in May, which is possibly the wrong time to sort of go for Nordkap, because nothing's going to be open when we get there. Right. So it's a bit of wild camping. We've budgeted quite a low budget. Well, actually, it's a high budget for us. But if you think 90 days at £100 a day is £9,000 each, that's £18,000 for two of us. That's allowing £100 a day is for fuel, food, accommodation, ferries, etc. Not a lot. So it's a bit of a low ball. But we did New Zealand in 2019 and we spent £6,000 because we were staying in YHAs, bed in a shed and camping. Same thing again. It'll be cheap hotels when the weather's bad, but I do enjoy camping still. And a lot of people at my age are like, oh, no, that's for kids. I don't think there's anything better than waking up in the morning and looking out, not onto four walls or a city, is to wake up in the middle of nowhere and smell the grass, smell the dew, hear the birds. And I've woken up so many times. I've seen dolphins playing out in the sea. I've woke up once and there's been a fish eagle playing around outside the tent. So
the idea is the bike's going to have some major modifications to do this in case we hit bad weather, which we're going to do. So I'm putting Tourance tyres on, which are a bit chunky. We'll be able to sort of quite a bit of off-roading if we have to. There's another story one day about the snapped back end of the Bonneville in New Zealand, gravelled tracking. We snapped the back end off the bike on the Forgotten World Highway. Most interesting. Back together within 4 hours by a beautiful Kiwi guy. And I mean that, I mean he's a beautiful guy. Then he put us back together and he was ace and he didn't want any money hardly for it at all. So this time, a bit more prepared. So we're going to go, we're leaving the UK very early in May and we're going to trundle down between France and Belgium, down into Luxembourg. And this is a tour where I'm joining up the dots of everything I've missed in the past.
Right.
So it's a little bimble down into, there's a Kassler tour I want to see in Luxembourg, nip over, drop onto the Mosel, down past Berncastle Coos to a lovely little place called Wolf, W-O-L-F. If you're ever there, folks, Marika Steubens is a fan. His vineyards are legendary. And he retired, but he's still got a little bit of a restaurant in the back streets. Fantastic place. Meet up with some German friends there. But they're going to travel part of the way. So I've got people dropping in and out of the trip for a week here, a week there. Friend Alex is going to bimble up with us all the way up to Nordkap, then he's going to come back down. So we're going to bimble up, have a lot of fun. And then really, it's make it up as you go along. There is nothing booked. So the idea is that if you don't book anything, you're not in a rush.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I've done these in the past where you think, oh, I'd love to stay here a bit longer. Ah, got to catch that ferry. Got to catch, you know, I've got to be in the next hotel. So apart from I reckon it's going to take me 2 weeks to get to Hirtshals at the top of Denmark. If I get there early, I can go early. If I get there a day later, I'll go a day later. It's chill out. I'm on holiday.
You can't miss a deadline if you don't make one, can you?
Exactly. And so I fancy seeing Bergen. I know they do whale watching in the Lofoten Isles. So that's obviously got to be on the cards, weather permitting. When we were in New Zealand, it was three attempts to go and see the sperm whales off Kaikoura. And, you know, you've been there three attempts, third time lucky, and we were. Amazing. And so I think that's, nature's fantastic, but it's uncontrollable. That's why it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you're riding along sometimes, and people used to laugh and go, what are you pointing at? Oh, I've just spotted an early flowering marsh orchid at 50 mile an hour heading towards Oban. It's like, what? Oh, a marsh orchid. What the hell are you talking about? You're talking about plants? Yes. Yeah. I spotted an orchid.
Not so unusual, Martin. This very morning, I were riding along and said to myself, we were talking earlier about talking to bikes, but I said to myself, oh, look, snowdrops are out. Because it's that time of year and I had lovely snowdrops just coming out at the side on this verge. And I thought, it's 3 degrees, but it's dry, it's not windy, and there's no reason why you can't ride, even though people put the bikes away for like 8 months of the year. We don't live in Canada, there's no need to do that, you know. And I just said, oh, look, snowdrops are out. So, yeah, you're not that unique. It's, you know, it's lovely to be able to see stuff like that, isn't it?
Yes, and I think we've become so disconnected in modern society from what's going on because we're all in a cocoon.
Yeah.
And so stepping out of that everyday cocoon is quite difficult for some people. And that's what I love. I love thinking, I don't know what I'm going to see. You know, there's orca up there, killer whale, orca. If I'm lucky, I might just see an orca. I don't know. But I know I'm going to have one eye pointing out to sea all the time, just in case. We were round Skye the other year, and I spotted a sea eagle. Literally, I didn't see the eagle. I saw everything around it scattering. So I pulled over, grabbed some binoculars, spent 2 hours at the side of the road watching a sea eagle rip a carcass to pieces on a lock. And that was, you can't plan for that. You can't say, oh, I've got to be here because I'm witnessing something that's very, very special.
Yeah.
And so I like to be connected to nature. I like to think it isn't just, the bike is a way of getting there that I connect with.
Yeah.
And so while we were away, down through Finland, there's some absolutely stunning views and things to see. And there's part of Poland which has the last primeval forest in Europe, never been touched. And it's got wild bison, European bison, bears and wolves.
Yeah.
To actually go there and see a forest that has been in place for 12,000 years. That's going to be worth seeing. You know, you can go to your Taj Mahal, you can see all that. Yeah? But to me, to stand in something that's completely ancient, that's nowhere else.
Yeah.
I've also stood at the place called the Macaire on in the Outer Hebrides. And the Macaire is a unique flower system. And it's just amazing to see. And so it's like, yeah, you know, why not? I might be a bit weird. I don't care about being weird. I've been and seen something you can't buy.
Yeah.
And so that's what this trip's about. And when we get down into Dubrovnik, if we get to Dubrovnik, that's one of the ideas. Bimble down, go and see Dubrovnik, apparently nice. Ride that road up the Adriatic from Dubrovnik towards Split, and then keep going, get into Slovenia. That I want to do that road. That sounds an ace road to do. So, yeah, we'll do it. If I don't do it, it's no skin lost, but I'd like to. And then after that, I've been to Slovenia. It's a lovely place. And I just want to take a bit more time in rural Slovenia as we make over the top then into the Dolomites. And I will be carrying tea bags with me, so yeah. I can be very British.
Yorkshire tea, yeah.
I think one of my German friends will be joining us for the Poland bit because he wants to see the bison in the forest.
Right.
And so he stores tea bags for me in Germany. He has a range from Yorkshire to, he's even got Co-op 99. And so that will be the tea bag replenishing run.
Fantastic.
Because I can't function without tea. It's one of those things, you wake up in the morning.
Very British, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes. I used to travel with the bowler hat, and that was great fun, but it got a bit soggy one day. In fact, it fell to pieces due to the 24 hours of torrential rain that it had to sort of suffer. So, yeah, we'll have a bit of fun. I'm hoping the bike will get through. So what we've actually done, we're not just changing the tyres and the oil.
Yeah,
I've gone through the bike. I have put on a brand new wiring harness because that's been on 30 years. So it's had a new harness, a new ignition switch. It's had two new coils, new HT leads and suppressor caps. I've changed the panniers for this year to top loading because I can get more in and carry a bit more.
Yeah,
it'll have two new tyres, wheel bearings throughout, the brakes stripped. Oh, it's got a hydraulic clutch on the bike, so to make things easier.
Right.
So all the fluids will be changed, including the gearbox. I've put a new clutch in it, new clutch centre rubbers, belt drive. It's got a belt drive conversion, so it's had a new belt, chain and sprockets. Basically, I've torn the bloody thing apart and rebuilt it, knowing that it's got to hold up. So if you're doing 4,000 or 5,000 miles, that's not a big deal. That's what you would consider acceptable for a 6,000-mile service on your oil, your filter, and your brakes.
Yeah.
Where we're going, I'm not sure. There's going to be bike shops and things, but because it's so old, I know I run FA16 brake pads.
Yeah.
They were the same that they put in minis.
Yeah. The old Perodo. Yeah.
So I've got a set of brake pads I'm going to carry with me. Yeah. And you might think, well, that's a bit excessive. But nowhere is going to carry the spares for a 1979 T140. So I will carry a spare electronic ignition because and a spare clutch and brake lever. And this is a quick tip, folks. If you're touring and you think, I don't need these things, I've spoken to people who've advised when they've been touring, always take a spare clutch and brake lever, especially your clutch, because if the bike drops over, falls over, whatever, and you break that clutch lever, you can't start most modern bikes without pulling the clutch in.
Yeah.
So gaffer tape a clutch lever on the inside of a side panel, pop it under your seat, whatever you have to do. You can, with a 10 mil spanner, drop a new clutch lever on and carry on. I spoke to one guy and he said, oh, you're just trying to flog me a set of clutch and brake levers. And his bike fell over in melting tarmac at the top of the Alps and he spent 3 days being recovered, put up in a hotel, and then one ordered to the Honda garage, and it was 3 days of his holiday.
For a 20 quid brake lever, a clutch lever.
Yeah. So, and I run clutch levers nobody's going to stock.
Yeah.
So, obviously, clutch levers, it's an old bike. You've got to think, if the worst comes to the worst, the foot pegs don't snap. They're solid. They don't even fold up.
Yeah.
Well, I can heat that up with a blowtorch if I come off.
Yeah, they bend, don't they? That's the thing. They're not alloys, yeah.
Yeah. So we put on heated grips, we put on hand guards, a little screen. When I was in New Zealand doing the gravel, I smashed my headlight to pieces. So now I've put a headlight guard on. I'll be putting gaiters on the forks because I tated the forks as well. So what was a museum piece a few years ago, because around about 80, 90,000 miles, I'd rebuilt the bike. And it becomes, when you spent that money, you have a museum piece that you're scared to get dirty, get wet, you've invested so much time on.
Yeah.
It's now, since 2017 again, it became a working motorcycle.
Yeah.
So, but you've got to, with it being the age it is, you've got to think, there's nowhere I'm going to get spares.
No.
So spare throttle cable. Now, I can make a cable if I had the correct equipment, but in the middle of nowhere, making a new throttle cable isn't going to be an option, so I'm going to have to take one. So I have a bag of spares, essential spares and tools, mainly fuses, because Joe Lucas Electrics were never any bloody good. So even though they're repro stuff, it's still going to have problems. I know it's going to have problems. So you just go and you think, yeah, okay, let's fix it.
Yeah, great. It's, I think sometimes those tiny little things are the biggest things that's going to stop you. Like, you know, like you mentioned, your clutch lever, a fuse. I mean, you know, I'm a welder, so fuses for me can be anything from a screw, an old nail I find at side of the road, you know, anything, piece of wire, nail clippers, oat I can bend into place and fuse into it, but not the wisest choice. But you know, you can always improvise and get going, can't you? But it's a lot easier if you've got the right stuff.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it always happens when it's raining and you're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Always. And that's the thing I've learned. So you think, right, have I done everything? Have I done the preparation? And as long as you're in your own mind, you've done as much as you can, then that's fine. I mean, when we get to France, I know a few people in France, will be dropping in, saying hello, and then I'm going to spend 3 days at the 21st of July in Normandy with some, meeting up with my friend Martin Kerwin and Roy Schilling, the Triumph Owners Club, having a few beers. And then I'm going to carry on down into Brittany before coming back, catching the ferry from Dieppe to Newhaven, and then meeting up with a load of old schoolmates and old bikers, and we'll be going to the Abersoch Peninsula, the Llyn Peninsula, a place called Hell's Mouth. There's a pub called The Rising Sun. I'll be there in the 1st of August with my kids. They come down bikes. I've got a bike in family, and we'll meet up, have a few beers, and come home, and then go back to work.
Oh, what well, that's what I mean. I enjoy speaking to everybody that we have on here. But because of our similarities, and you know, sense of humor and stuff, I've really enjoyed it. And I love the fact that you're so casual about it. Because I guess because I am, you know, that like, well, que sera, sera type attitude is it gets you a long way. And so just not planning too much because it can't go wrong. Because if you haven't planned it, can't go wrong, can it? You know, that's how I see
Exactly.
it. You know,
Insurance.
it's
What's
part of the adventure.
going to possibly happen? I've got health insurance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully you won't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, Martin, I can see that your gaffer's arrived. So
Yes, she walked through the door. She that must be obeyed
I
or
can see
hold.
because you started talking right posh and you stopped swearing.
I did, yes.
Oh,
Well, she's just got in from work, and this is the woman that's actually coming along.
hey,
Hello.
you're all right.
Yeah, fine, thanks.
Good. Are you looking forward to your trip?
Certainly am.
I
I'm
bet
trying
you
to get my walking work and back.
are. Fabulous. Oh yeah, we've had a really good chat. It's been great, honestly. I'm love it. I can just imagine, you know, you two off doing your trip, camping, God only knows what.
Yeah.
It'll be
Well,
brilliant.
we'll send you some footage of the
Yeah,
fun.
do
And yeah, you can always just chuckle to yourself. Oh,
that.
there's a doggy.
Ah, he's back. Oh,
Yeah,
you can hardly see him. It's getting dark now, so this failed virtual background I've got is not good. Oh dear. Well,
we are going to meet up for a beer.
oh, definitely. Yeah, I'd love that. Let me turn off this virtual background. Oh, it is dark, isn't it? Look at
Brief, yeah. Oh, crikey. Wow. Could you pop the light on? Nicholas.
that. No, it's my
Oh,
line, not yours.
yeah.
Hang on, I'll put, you'll not want to miss my face. There you go. Ooh.
Oh, brilliant.
I tell you. So I want to say thank you, Martin, and thanks for again for relocating and coming and finishing off at home. It's been brilliant. And let's chat again. Let's keep in touch.
Okay.
You know, we're not far, only an hour apart, I think, not much more than that. Definitely. Any pictures, any footage, send us it and we'll put it on the group. And I'm more than happy to put that on the podcast as well. And we can do a little special of your trip if you like. Just send us the footage, send us any photos, and I'm happy, you know, more than happy for you to come back and to talk to us about it.
Okay.
I'm sure people would love to hear about it. I think it appeals, you appeal to like the normal person who just anybody can do what you're doing. Like you said, it's all in your mind. And I think that's what I like about it. Rather than sometimes you've got to have a bit of money, you've got to have a certain type of a lifestyle to do certain things. But I think if you put your mind to it, to do what you're doing is possible by almost anyone who wants to do it enough.
Yes, and that's the idea. We've all become so conditioned to not thinking that we can do it, and we watch other people do it and go, oh, wish I could do that. But we can. You can do it for anything. I'm doing it on a 45-year-old bike. I've got a modern bike sitting in that garage, and I can do it on that. My wife's doing it on a modern bike. We can do anything we want, and that's the thing. That's why motorcycling needs to break out of this mold that we've got ourselves in. And I think that's why we are still bikers, and that's you've grown up in the same era as I have. You've done loads of crazy stuff that we can't talk about on air, the same as I have. But it's still there, this drive to go and experience. I buried six friends last year, good friends. And we're only here for a short time. And so you can have as much as you want. And you can't, it's an old phrase, take it with you, but you can go and experience life. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Going out there and experiencing and doing things. Even if it's, oh, if you live in Doncaster and you said to me, I'm going to go up to, I'm going to go up to Ullapool, to the Radio 4 Chippy of the year in Ullapool. You're going to have a brilliant time. And if you did it on the under 50, it's the biggest adventure you'll do. That's just as much of an adventure as going from the top of America to the bottom of America.
Definitely. You're a man after my own heart, Martin. That's exactly one of the things when I first ever introduced this podcast last year, that this podcast comes from the British Motorcycling Group, which I founded back in 2013. And it's always had that ethos that you don't have to have a 30 grand bike. You know, it can be, you can be, and we were one of the first groups that were very, very inclusive of learners. People used to come to us and say, I haven't passed my test yet. I'm going to do my CBT in, I don't know, in April. But I love riding my bike. I love doing this. Any chance of being involved? Yes. Yeah, there is. Absolutely. Because we've all been there. And, you know, I'm as happy that someone, like you mentioned about, you know, going to Ullapool on 150. That's a big adventure, that, on that bike. So, you know, a lot of people nowadays are much more able to enjoy themselves and have these adventures on small bikes, and there's Facebook groups and stuff all about that. But for me, having a normal person or normal people coming on this podcast and doing normal things on different bikes, whether and you know, coming on here and doing it on a 45-year-old bike, or you've had it all those years from new, is almost just like, you know, unprecedented, and it's amazing. Because most people, like you say, if they've got a modern bike in the garage, would opt to do it on that one. But then it's not quite the adventure that it might be. You know, it's still a wonderful adventure, and if people do that, wonderful. But the additional, you know, planning, the additional thoughts of doing all your maintenance and your, adjustments to the bike, the oil, the changing the clutch to hydraulic, all those things have had to be thought about in order to do it on that bike, to be able to honour your lifetime's ownership of that bike, which I think is amazing. So, Martin, a.k.a. Tico, fantastic to talk to you. Please come back and tell us all about it when you've done it. Look after yourself. I hope your injuries are all sorted now. And you've recovered, or you know, and you continue to recover. So thanks very much for being a guest on the show, and I look forward to seeing you next time. And guys, please, if you've enjoyed watching this and you've had some inspiration, and no matter what you ride or want to ride, please think about what Martin says about it being all in your mind. If you want to do it enough, you can do it. If you want to make the time, then make the time. Don't grow old and think back and think, I loved watching YouTube videos of other people doing it. If you want to do it, do it. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you would like it, subscribe to it. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe. And please share it with other people you think that might be interested. And if you're listening to this, like I do, I listen to podcasts while I'm driving, while I'm riding, and sometimes to put me to sleep. Not that they're boring, but I love to fall asleep to listening to podcasts, usually about motorcycles or biking, you know, wherever you are. Then if you're listening to it, you sometimes can give it a review. So please give it a review, because the way in which these podcast hosting companies work, and the way in which YouTube works certainly, is they have algorithms. And that is sadly a way of pushing it up so people see it, and if people don't like it, they'll assume that they've not watched it, and if they don't comment and don't review it, they'll assume people are not interested. If that's the case, then only people who get to see this is people that I actually send it to or who happen across it. So I'd really appreciate if you could do that. It's a non-profit making, more than that, it's a non-monetized channel. It's all for the love of biking. So thanks again, Martin. And we'll see you next time. All the best. Keep safe.
Okay, thank you, Ian, and we will be in touch. Cheers now.